disturb me from my slumber. I'm the Eternal Dryden. Now make your first wish. Your wish has been granted. Here is your host, Tim Bridgewater.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode 68 of Rock the Dragon, a Dragon Ball Super podcast. I'm your host, Tim Bridgewater. Well, we made it through another arc. We successfully survived. We made it. We didn't give up. We hung in there, even though it may have been challenging at times. This was probably one of the least challenging arcs in a while. I mean, in terms of at least just not being very good. It was definitely good for the most part. Of course, I broke down all my concerns and my issues with it throughout the past 10 or 12 or so episodes of the podcast. Even did a bit of a wrap up of a summary on episode 67 of the podcast, just kind of closing out this whole Future Trunks, Goku Black, Zamasu arc. So we made it through that, and now it's time to move on to the next thing. And as to be expected, we got a couple of filler type episodes coming up. Totally normal. We get it. They have to take a break. They have to chill out. They have to calm down a little bit. You can't just bring in villain after villain after villain, because that just doesn't really make any sense. And sometimes you actually get some of your better episodes in between if they can manage to be a standalone story that is both interesting and funny, or whatever they need them to be, and then hopefully, you know, we can get some good stuff out of it. So let's find out if that's what we are getting for this episode. Of course, you can find me at facebook.com/rockthedragonpodcast. Also, if you have any questions, concerns, comments about anything, and you want to send me an email for our email segment called What Are You Saying? You can send me an email at rockthedragonpodcast@gmail.com. And also, once again, I recently launched a YouTube channel where I'll be doing videos of all things Dragon Ball related. I'm not on a weekly sort of basis or anything like that right now, because honestly, I just need to reach 100 subscribers first. So the quicker I can get to 100 subscribers, the more quickly I'll be able to put out new things. So right now, if you want to go see what is up over there on that channel, just head over to YouTube and type Rock the Dragon Podcast in the search bar, and you will find the channel that way. When I get to 100 subscribers, I can have a custom URL and it'll be easier to find. Once again, thank you guys. Thank all of you that have went over there and liked that or subscribed. If you have not had a chance, please do so. It's very hard to get people to discover your channel. So I'm kind of counting on you guys to be the first ones to go over there and subscribe and show some support and help me make it grow. Obviously, you guys enjoy the what I do here, so I can only hope that even more people would enjoy it too. So I need you guys help to kind of spread the word and get it around out there and everything. So I definitely appreciate all of that. As always, if you have anything positive you want to say, you want to leave me a review, you can go leave me a review on iTunes. Also, the podcast is on Google Play or Google Music, which I don't. Here's what I'd like to ask. If any of you guys use Google Play or Google Music or whatever the hell it's called to listen to the podcast, could you send me an email and let me know? Because it's very tricky, right? Like, I know that the podcast is up there, but it's also very hard to find, because I don't really use Google Play for anything. I mean, I'm an iTunes sort of a guy, so all my music and stuff is through iTunes. So I don't even know if it's easy to navigate to the podcast through Google Play or not. I know that if I just Google Rock the Dragon Podcast myself, it doesn't even come up. TuneIn comes up, Stitcher comes up, and of course iTunes comes up, but Google Play doesn't come up. Even Podbean comes up. If anyone uses Podbean, my podcast is on Podbean too. I have no idea how it got there. I didn't put it there. I can only assume that maybe they have some kind of an algorithm that just snatches RSS feeds for different podcasts, which it's okay. I don't care. I mean, Podbean appears to be a pretty legitimate sort of source for podcasts. I didn't submit it to Podbean though, so I'm not sure how I got there exactly, but that's fine. I mean, you know, because I discovered that and I was like, oh, there's a whole different group of people on this website that subscribe to the podcast, and I didn't even know. So welcome to all of you guys who use Podbean. But I don't talk about Podbean because I didn't submit the podcast there myself. Now I know, and there's a couple other random sort of websites you can find it on. I can only assume that's one of those things to where they just kind of snatch RSS feeds for different podcasts. which is fine. I mean, it's not like I'm charging money for this podcast or anything. So it's not like I'm going to, you know, make a big deal out of it. I mean, the more sources that kind of use the podcast, I assume the better anyway. So cool. But yeah. So if you're using Google Play, though, send me an email. I just want to know that someone out there is using that, because it's hard for me to track what's going on Google Play because I don't use it. And plus, it doesn't show up when I actually Google the podcast. So I don't know if it's difficult to navigate to that, if it's difficult to use it or anything, because it's just hard to track what's going on there. I don't even know if you can leave a review on Google Play or not. So if any of you guys have any information on that, I would definitely appreciate it. Send me an email at rockthedragonpodcast@gmail.com. With that being said, I don't have any emails to read for this week. I do have a review. I mentioned Stitcher a minute ago. Stitcher.com is another place where you can find the podcast there. It's also called Stitcher Radio. I don't push Stitcher a lot, because in the beginning, we had some problems with it, right? And back when I was doing Geekly Dose, we had these problems. And then when I was doing Republic City Report, we had these problems too. And now I don't know if it's updated or not, but Stitcher, for some reason, doesn't update properly all the time. It doesn't always put every single episode of the podcast up. I remember at one point I was going there and I was looking through and it only had some of the episodes. So I don't know exactly how that works. And I had never really heard much from Stitcher users. Now, I have been checking the analytics, and in the beginning, it was zero. No one was using Stitcher. But in the past, like, 2 or 3 months, I'm noticing that I now have listeners on Stitcher, okay? So thank you guys for using Stitcher, and I would like to ask you guys, if you exclusively use Stitcher to listen to the podcast and you're enjoying it, please take time to leave me a review on there. I just happened to check it this week, and I had a review left from Island Thunder about a month ago on there. And I didn't even know, right? Because I'm so used to not getting much traction out of Stitcher, but it seems like that's changing now. So I'm going to read this review that Island Thunder left. Thank you so much for the 5-star review. It says, one of the definitive Dragon Ball podcasts. One of the best Dragon Ball podcasts out there today. I look forward to the recaps and what you felt did and didn't work in the episodes. It's fun to hear a passionate fan of Dragon Ball. Keep up the great work. Wow. Thank you so much, Island Thunder. I mean, this kind of shit keeps me motivated, guys. So, and that's all I could really ask for. You know, I'm not asking for any money on this podcast. I'm asking for motivation, inspiration, and support. Okay, so whatever you can do, subscribe, like, leave reviews, all that kind of stuff, is just keeps me motivated. We can keep this thing moving and I can start to do even more stuff. So Island Thunder, thank you so much for that review. Once again, if anyone else over on Stitcher wants to leave a review there, I'm pretty sure you just kind of navigate to the bottom of the page and it just says write a review. And I assume if you already have a Stitcher account, it's probably just a matter of clicking on a button and then leaving a review. So whatever you can do there, I appreciate it. No new reviews over on iTunes to read at the moment. And once again, with as far as TuneIn goes and Google Play, it's just kind of hard to see. I don't even know how to really navigate around on there. So, but if anyone else has left any reviews and I haven't read it, or you're concerned that maybe I didn't see it, then just send me an email. Shoot me an email, you know, screenshot it if you want. I'll be happy to read it and check it out. I much appreciate it. I remember I did have another listener who wrote in recently and said that they left me a review on Canadian iTunes. That review never showed up. So maybe there is a different iTunes for Canada. I didn't think there was. I figured Canada and the US were just one sort of, you know, demographic in terms of iTunes, but maybe I'm wrong. So if you wouldn't mind, check back in with me and let me know if it ever showed up on your end. And if it did, by all means, just send me a screenshot of it. I'd be happy to read it and see it. And because I would definitely love to see it, because once again, it only keeps me motivated to keep doing this. So I would hate for there to be any positive reviews out there and that I don't see, because that would be pretty counterproductive to what I need on this show. So, but once again, thank everybody for listening. Thank you for sticking around throughout that, you know, terribly confusing at times Future Trunks arc. I hope I did it justice by giving you my thoughts and reviews on it and maybe sort of explaining some things that weren't exactly clear. Okay, so with that being said, we're gonna go ahead and jump into this episode. Of course, this episode of Rock the Dragon Podcast, episode 68, is going to cover episode 68 of Dragon Ball Super, titled Come Forth, Shenron. whose wish will be granted. So it's almost a little bit odd now sometimes when these episodes start and there's no previously on Dragon Ball Super, but it makes sense that they wouldn't do that this time, right? Because they just closed out an arc. So there's no point in referencing something that just happened if it doesn't have anything to do with what we're about to see next, right? So it makes sense that they wouldn't include that here, but we're just so used to that when it happens that way, I'm just like, huh, they just went straight into the episode. But yeah, so it kind of starts off, we get Bulma kind of walking. Well, at the beginning, we don't know it's Bulma, right? There's like there's sort of a silhouette walking through a hallway. It's kind of ominous looking, you know? Like, I was like, oh, okay, we're jumping right into some suspenseful stuff here. And then you realize it's Bulma. So it's really not that big of a deal, but I couldn't help but notice that Bulma's silhouette kind of looks like Hit. Remember Hit from the Destroyer tournament? Just because, you know, he doesn't really have any hair, and Bulma's hair is really short, and he wears that long sort of coat with that skirt-like bottom, and she has her lab coat on, so it kind of looks like Hit's silhouette a little bit. Or maybe I'm just reaching there, I don't know. But Bulma just kind of walks into her lab, she puts this crystal into this little device, she starts typing this stuff, and we know that she's working on something, of course. She has this big thing behind her with a big cloth on it. It doesn't take much to figure out that that's a time machine, right? So my question upon seeing this was, when is this happening, right? Because for all I know, they could have jumped back and showed us a flashback of something that had already happened. They could have flashed back to when Trunks was in town and she was working on the time machine, etc. But, you know, we kind of listened to her talk for a minute and we kind of quickly sort of realized that no, apparently she just built a new time machine. She built a new one just from scratch, I guess. I mean, she kind of already knew how to do it because when Trunks was there, she had the other one and she worked on it and she restored it and she made it better. So this time, and of course, Trunks and Mai took that time machine back to the future. So she just made a new one here. And she's mentioning that she knows it's against, you know, time travel laws, but I guess just it's not really clear in this episode why she built this thing. I mean, she just kind of talks about being a scientist. And I guess, I mean, if you think about it, it does kind of make sense that she is a scientist. So she's like, hey, you know, and when you're a scientist or you're anyone who's sort of either creative, you have to create, you have to keep trying, you have to keep building. It's just like this intuitive thing in your brain that just keeps you moving and keeps you, you know, you always have to kind of be working toward that next thing. So I guess he's just thinking, well, why not? I know I'm not supposed to do this, but I'm a scientist. Like, we literally do things that are not supposed to be done. She said, I think she says, oh yeah, here it is. Trying something everyone says or can't or shouldn't be done is the whole point of being a scientist. And honestly, that makes perfect sense. So once she said that, I kind of didn't really need any more of an explanation. I mean, at first I was thinking, well, is she trying to go to the future for some reason or something? But she's just like, as far as we know, it's just to make a new time machine. So I guess, you know, that's just a good enough reason for now. But she's having a problem, right? And she just kind of just figures out that the only piece of this thing that was not from the time period that she's in now was a little crystal. Okay, so she assumes that it has something to do with that. So she does sort of a quick little scan and she finds out that she can find another one in her time, but it's like somewhere toward the middle of the earth. Okay, towards the center of the earth. And that's where the episode kind of starts. And then we jump and we get the title card. And then we immediately pick up with, and you know, I wasn't sure how to feel about this whole thing. They keep sort of bringing up this idea of King Kai and Gregory and Bubbles and how Goku was supposed to wish them back to life by this point. Because, of course, if you're someone who just, you know, doesn't remember for some reason, they're all dead. Okay, they're all dead because way back in Dragon Ball Z, whenever Goku, he wasn't perfect at the time, but Cell decided to self-destruct. So he blew himself up into this really big thing because he was getting his ass whipped. He didn't know what else to do. So he was just going to try to destroy the whole planet. So to save everyone, Goku instant transmissioned Cell out of there. He took him to King Kai's planet and that's where he blew up. So in the result, you know, result of that, everyone was killed. Goku, King Kai, Gregory, Bubbles. Of course, Goku has been restored back to life, but this whole time, King Kai and his crew have just been dead. And, you know, I don't think they really referenced it much after that point in Dragon Ball Z, but in Super, they've brought it up, right? King Kai has brought it up and said, hey, you were supposed to wish us back to life, man. What happened to that? And so it's kind of become sort of this running joke, which I'm okay with, you know, because I think I see what they're doing with it, especially seeing how this episode ends with them still not being brought back to life. That it's if they have it as this running joke sort of a thing, then I can see that being pretty funny, right? Even though it makes no difference really whether they're dead or not, because they still do the same shit that they would be doing otherwise, just kind of chilling on this planet, you know, watching people. As far as we can tell, King Kai's powers still work the exact same, so there's no real sort of, you know, visible difference as to what the difference is as far as him being alive or dead. But he says something about it a little bit later, but I'll get to that once we get to that point. But basically, Goku is saying that now that he's got some free time, you know, he's put it off way too long, he's going to go get all the Dragon Balls, summon Shenron, and then wish them back to life, finally. So it's kind of like this running joke now, I guess, with fans and the creators. And we're like, it's like, oh, okay, cool. Like, so we finally get back around to this. King Kai seems to be pretty happy about it. So, you know, so far, so good with this episode. Now, of course, based on the title of the episode, we kind of know where this is going, right? We know that Goku's planning to make a wish to get King Kai and the crew back to life. We know that Bulma has this crystal that she needs. And the name, you know, they mention in the title of the episode, whose wish will be granted. So that means that there's going to be a race or sort of a battle for wishes here. So we can kind of start to see that sort of coming along. So Goku teleports over to Bulma's place. And of course, at this point, no one else really knows that she's been working on this time machine. So she's even trying to hide it from Goku. So he shows up and he's standing right in front of the thing and he doesn't even realize it. But he goes there to get the dragon radar, okay? Remember the dragon radar? We need this little device still somehow to try to find the Dragon Balls. I feel like by now, though, Bulma would have done some kind of... I don't understand why there's always only one or two dragon radars. It's like, just make one for everybody, you know? Just make one for every freaking family so when they need it, you don't have to do all this shit. Or she could have made a scouter type version of it by now instead of like this handheld one. Everything else has been advanced in this world. They've upgraded the technology, everything else. That dragon radar still seems to remain the same though. But it's cool because it's just nostalgic and I'm just kind of nitpicking at this point. But yeah, so he gets the radar and then he takes off and we know it's not going to take him very long to find all seven Dragon Balls. I mean, at this point with instant transmission and just being super freaking strong, he should be able to collect all seven in one day, no problem. But, you know, Bulma's also saying the same point is that, you know, she can wish for the crystal that she needs, you know, because it'd just be easier, I guess. And then we go over to Master Roshi, and so they're kind of setting up everyone's, like, motivations at this point, right? You know, we see Master Roshi and he's saying that, you know, it's a nice day outside. Of course, he always wants women. That's always his thing. He's not extremely hard to please. And then we go over to 18. 18 and Chi-Chi and Little Marin are walking through the mall. And now we're starting to see her motivations, which it's kind of sweet, right? She's kind of talking about how Krillin always puts her and Marin first, but he never buys anything for himself. So she is thinking about, well, what can I give for Krillin? What does he want? But she doesn't want to just ask him because I guess that's a little less special, right? Like it's almost more impactful if the person doesn't have to ask you what you want. They just know you so well that they get you something that you really, really like and it just makes you feel better. But she doesn't know. So she feels kind of bad about that. And then we go back over to Bulma and then Beerus and Whis show up. Okay. I mean, I wasn't expecting to see them this episode. I figured they would just kind of save them until the next arc started. Maybe just, you know, give them some time off or something like that. But no, they popped up and they just came to get some food. Now, of course, Bulma's freaking out because she's thinking that they're there because they know that she's building a new time machine. Because remember, she's got to hide this from Beerus and Whis because Beerus is very against time travel, which they all should be at this point, given everything that just freaking happened. Right. So, I don't know. The fact that Bulma's even working on this is still like, really, Bulma? Like, let it go. Like, you guys have caused all kinds of anomalies and time and created villains as a result of it. So just leave it alone. So that's kind of what Beerus and Whis's points are. But Goku finds the last Dragon Ball. That's pretty much it. I mean, hell, didn't even take him a whole day. Shit. Probably took him 20 minutes. I mean, it's still daytime. It's not. It's still the afternoon. So he goes back. He's got all 7 Dragon Balls. He summons the dragon. Eternal Shenron, by your name, I summon you forth. Okay, apparently that's what you say now. I think I mentioned this before. Like, I feel like it's never been consistent of what you need to say in order for Shenron to come out. I remember them saying, arise, Shenron. I remember them saying, come forth, Shenron. You know, come forth, Eternal Dragon. And I remember one time Krillin said something that was so crazy and long, and I don't remember if it worked or not. Maybe that was the whole point. Maybe he was saying the wrong thing. I don't remember, but, you know, I guess this is what you have to say now to get him to come out. Okay, so then we get Shenron. Always nice to see my boy, you know. I have a tattoo of him on my arm, so it's always nice to see him pop up. Of course, he introduces me on every episode of the podcast now. So yeah, then we get to see everybody, because now they're realizing that Shenron is out and everybody sort of has a stake in this. So Bulma, you know, is feeding Beerus and Whis, and she's like, okay, well, let me get out of here. Here's a bunch of money. Take care of them. I need to go, right? Because we know that she's hoping to use a wish for herself at this point. Now, they also did do a pretty good job here of kind of reminding us that there are 2 wishes left, okay? Because the last time they summoned Shenron, they only used 1, and that was to find out where the Super Dragon Balls were, I believe. So there's 2 left. Sometimes it gets hard to remember all these rules surrounding these damn Dragon Balls, okay? Like, I forget that it's 3 wishes now. I feel like it used to be 2 at one point, or maybe that was the Namekian Dragon Balls. I don't remember. It's a lot of stuff. But apparently one of the things is, you know, you don't have to make all the wishes at once, right? So if you only make 1 wish, I think, the Dragon Balls still become inactive, but they become reactive in 6 months instead of a year. Or I don't know. It's hard to keep track of all this shit. But the point is that there's still 2 wishes left, okay? So Goku is basically trying to make his wish, which is fair enough. He made a promise to get King Kai and friends back. But this is where people start showing up. So Android 18 shows up. Oolong shows up. And Master Roshi shows up. So, you know, in addition to them, Oolong also wants a wish at this point. But they're pointing out and saying, hey, remember what happened the last time you made a wish? You wished for the world's most comfortable pair of ultra soft underwear. And that was, you know, that it's just funny to see that kind of stuff. You know, when Oolong comes in, you know, there's going to be a lot of silly, perverse sort of shit going on. Same thing with Master Roshi. So now they're kind of battling because it's kind of understood that Goku has at least 1 wish. That leaves another wish. So Android 18 says she wants the wish. Master Roshi says he wants the wish. And meanwhile, King Kai is just kind of chilling, just waiting, just sweating over there, just, you know, just waiting to be brought back to life while they all just kind of bicker amongst one another. Shenron is just growing impatient. It's always kind of funny to see him. I feel like they've given him a lot more personality in Dragon Ball Super. Which is cool. I didn't know how to feel about that at first, but I think I kind of like it now, especially whenever Beerus shows up. I mean, he always had a little bit of a personality, but in this one, I feel like they're really kind of pushing it. Unfortunately, but still fortunately, I guess, we do see the Pilaf gang this episode, which, gosh, you know I'm not a big fan of them. But I have to say, I did not mind them this episode. Like, I felt like some of the funniest shit was with Pilaf. Because, you know, of course, if Shenron shows up, he's going to be the first person to stick his head out because he still has this quote unquote, you know, world domination thing that he wants to get accomplished. So he runs out there and he tries to make a wish. But then Trunks and Goten show up and kind of knock him on his ass. And I think that that's probably why I'm okay with him this episode, because every time we see him, he's pretty much getting knocked out or getting beaten up. And it was really funny. I mean, I was surprised at how much I actually laughed at it. I mean, every time he would go to make a wish, someone would just come out of nowhere and knock him down. So it's good, at least for that. I mean, I've always known that Pilaf and gang were brought back for comedic purposes and probably just to also sort of make the show a little bit more kid friendly. And I've never been a big fan of them, but they were utilized pretty well in this episode, so I can't really complain about that. But then now we also have Trunks and Goten in the mix now, and they want to make a wish too. So we're starting to see, okay, whose wish will be granted? We've got all the characters kind of coming in, you know, because they all see Shenron there and they're all kind of wanting to make a wish. We get this very interesting sort of, I thought this was just kind of interesting to see, but like when Trunks and Goten show up, there's this sort of close up on Master Roshi's sunglasses and you can see their reflections in it. I just thought it was very interesting how they just kind of use that creatively to just, from a cinematography sort of standpoint. They didn't have to do that. I just thought it was kind of cool. But yeah, so Trunks and Goten show up, you know, it's never really clear what their wish is exactly, what they're trying, but they're just making it known that, hey, we want to make a wish too. We're sick of all the adults getting to make the decisions on how these wishes are used. And 18 is like, no, okay, you guys are kids, you know? And Roshi's like, yeah, you know, when you're a kid, you have to work hard, but when you're old, it's time to party. Okay, so you guys can go earn your right, go put in some work, put in some time, grow up, and then you can earn the right to make a wish. And they're just all kind of over-talking each other, and Shenron's kind of getting impatient this whole time. Meanwhile, Mai and Shu are trying to pull Pilaf out of the wall because he got knocked into it. They get him out of there, and he says, you know what, I'm going to go give this another shot. And then, bam, before he gets a chance, Gohan shows up. And I laughed out loud because Pilaf's just running at toward the camera and Gohan just comes out of nowhere and just like steps on him and then he just gets knocked into the ground. But Gohan shows up with little Pan and he lets us know that she's sick. She's had a fever all day. They're having trouble treating her fever. He thinks it's partially because she's half Saiyan. Well, not half Saiyan, part Saiyan. She's like a quarter Saiyan, I think. But it's nice that they kind of mention that, right? Because we've never seen these characters don't really get sick. I mean, you know, that's not something that happens a lot on here. So, you know, he's saying that maybe, you know, she's probably she's mostly human at this point, but she is a part Saiyan, so they're having trouble kind of treating it. So his little Pan is kind of laid out and he's saying, you know, if you guys don't mind, I would like to use a wish to make Pan better because he's worried about her. There's something about this that plays a little bit weirdly to me because I'm thinking, man, you're going to use a wish just to make your kid. I know how that sounds, but she's sick, right? I mean, it's like, how selfish of a wish is that? I mean, I'm just saying, think about all the other people on the planet right now that are sick or dying of something. And it's like, I want to use this wish to make my little girl feel better. I don't know. I mean, they could have given her a sensu bean. It would have still, you know, had the same result, right? Like, it stands to reason that sensu beans can pretty much heal anything. You know, if someone has a hole in their chest and they take a sensu bean and they eat it and they're better, I think it can clear up a fever. So why use a wish on that? That's my only thing, is that I feel like that probably wasn't. But they needed, from a story perspective, they needed someone else to come in and use up one of the wishes so that there was only one left to kind of make it even more difficult for Goku to get his wish. So I get it. And we get to see Gohan and Pan, so I'm okay with it. So essentially, he uses the wish to make Pan better, and it's kind of this sweet moment. You know, everybody's like, of course, use a wish. You know, Pan's health trumps all of this. And Shenron grants the wish, and all of a sudden, you know, Pan just freaking goes into super Pan mode, and she's just flying in the sky and shit, which I talked about this back on Pan's Day Out, you know, that episode or whatever, which we just kind of followed her around, and I was like, man, she's got some powers for a baby. I mean, Gohan wasn't flying around when he was a baby like that. Trunks wasn't flying around when he's a baby like that, but whatever. You know, I guess it was kind of a nitpick, so... But she's better, right? She's better, okay? So now this only leaves one wish, and everybody's still saying, okay, we have one wish left now. You know, let's all just kind of continue to argue about it and try to figure out how to use it. Goku's pretty much getting ready to make the wish, and and 18 says, hey, wait a second. Now, you know, if we waited this long, then what's the harm in waiting a little bit longer? I mean, which is kind of a really good point. I mean, it's been a while. I mean, I guess in terms of Dragon Ball Z time, it hasn't been very long, probably 2 years, 3 years, something like that, since Cell happened. But, you know, if we think about it in terms of real lifetime, it's been a very long time. A lot of shit has happened within that time. But what I love about this is that 18 brings up a really good point. And that was a point that I was making, you know, back whenever this whole thing first came up. Was that she's like, it doesn't even matter. It's like, as far as we can tell, there's no difference. And even King Kai himself kind of gets in to the argument. At 18, he's saying it doesn't matter. Like, when he's dead or alive, like, it doesn't matter. So I wonder if that was just the writers kind of addressing that for the fans. And man, like, we realize that there is sort of no difference. I mean, King Kai can still do the same shit. But I love his response. What he says is, it feels different. Hey, there's no arguing with that. We don't know what it feels like to be dead, so we can't say that this man's wish isn't justified, okay? So I just thought that was incredibly funny, the way they just kind of handled all this. But then right when they're getting ready to kind of, you know, keep it going, and Pilaf says, you know what? This is not, that's it. I'm running in there. I'm going to make my wish. Bam, that's when Bulma shows up, hits him with a car. I mean, it's just, it's good stuff, man. These are moments where I really start to see why they included Pilaf. Because if he's just like kind of like the spare, you know, comic relief guy who just gets beaten up and knocked out and stuff like that, then I'll take him, because it works best in that route. Now, when we spend half the episode with him, that's when I don't like it. But in this instance, it's actually okay. But Bulma shows up and says, look, this last wish is mine, okay? At this point, she assumes Goku already made his wish. She's saying that, you know, if it wasn't for me and my dragon radar, Goku wouldn't have even found the Dragon Balls, so I want to make a wish. Of course, she's not telling people exactly what it is she wants to do, but she takes it upon herself to kind of go around and address everybody to see, what is it that you guys want? Let me see if I can help you with it. And I like this moment, actually, because it kind of speaks a little bit more beyond, especially the moment between her and 18. It goes beyond just Dragon Ball. It goes into real life, you know, and she's like, you don't need to make a wish to find out something like that. I know Krillin. I know the only thing that really makes him happy is you and Marin. So just go home to him, and that's all he will really want. And it's kind of like this sweet moment, and even 18 is like, really? You think so? So she's just kind of going around and just finding out what everyone wants and trying to see if she can find a way to kind of, you know, help them so that they don't have to like use a wish based on that. So then she goes over to Roshi, and of course all Roshi wants is some girls in bikinis and a car, man. She's like, I'm not surprised at all. So she pulls out her phone, makes one quick call and says, hey, for 10 million Zenny, can you send over a car full of girls in bikinis? And like that, it's like instantly there. I mean, sometimes you forget that Bulma's like rich as fuck, so like it makes a lot more sense that she would just do something like this in the moment just to get him what he wants. And of course Roshi falls out, a bunch of steam shoots out of his nose instead of blood, so very interesting change there. I mean, I can only assume that, you know, since they decided to start censoring Dragon Ball Super, not just here, but also in Japan, as I found out, I guess they're just not going through the blood running out of his nose anymore. So some, you know, steam shot out, but whatever. But yeah, so basically she takes care of him just with that. And she assumes that Oolong wants new undies, and he's like, yeah. So she pulls out this briefcase full of money, which at first I had to go back and be like, where the hell did that briefcase full of money come from, and why does she bring that? So I rewinded it, and I was like, when she arrives and she gets out the car, she has that briefcase in her hand. So nice attention to detail there, Dragon Ball Super, because I wasn't expecting that. I was totally expecting to rewind to that moment, see Bulma walk out of that car with no briefcase, and then just a briefcase appear out of nowhere. But no, they took care of it. The question is, why does she have it? Why was she walking around with this briefcase full of money? I guess you could say that she assumed that she would have to offer money to someone to get rid of Oolong, because that's what she does. She just offers the money to 18 to get rid of Oolong. So 18 just plucks Oolong into the atmosphere, and I guess she just gets a bunch of money. So then that leaves Trunks and Goten. Well, them being kids, they don't even know what their wish was for. They never actually even figured it out. So that's kind of funny too. But Bulma's saying, look, well, once you decide what it is, maybe you guys should let me know what you want, and then I'll see if I can help. But in the meantime, I'm going to take your spot. But Goku's like, hey, I didn't get my wish yet, Bulma. And she's like, oh, I thought you had already made your wish, so sorry. But so they sort of come to this sort of agreement. She says, hey, okay, I need this crystal from the center of the earth. If you can go get it for me, then I won't need to use a wish to get it. And Goku's saying, well, that's the center of the earth. That's kind of dangerous even for me, right? But she's saying, no, you'll be fine as long as you use one of our pressure suits, which is convenient, right? And Shenron's like, there's no time for that. He's just sitting there this whole time. We know that he does kind of have sort of a time limit. It's never been clearly sort of stated exactly what it is, but he's just getting super antsy. So we can tell that he's just kind of ready to go. And it's kind of funny. But then Bulma says, hey, well, if you don't hang around a little bit longer, I'm going to tell Lord Beerus that you're being rude. And we know that Shenron gets really weird and awkward and kind of scared whenever Beerus is around. So he realizes that Beerus is there. So he says, okay, I'll stick around for a little bit longer. So meanwhile, Goku is going to the center of the earth. Beerus and Whis are kind of eating their crab or lobster, whatever the hell that is. So they wrap it up, and then if you notice pretty closely though, and this is nice, another little details, and that shot whenever they show Beerus and Whis at the table, through the window behind them, you can actually see Shenron in the background, kind of out of focus. So once again, really nice attention to detail. Yeah, I'm not really used to this kind of stuff for Dragon Ball. So when when I notice something like the continuity's good and there's a lot of attention to detail somewhere, I feel like I need to point it out, because you know, they're not really known for that. And I've been rewatching The Legend of Korra recently. I mentioned that I recently picked up the Blu-rays, so I rewatched all 4 season books of that, and now I'm rewatching them again with commentary. And man, the amount of detail that's in that show is mind-blowing, especially when you watch commentary and you realize, holy shit, I didn't even notice this. So detailed. So in that show, I'm used to it. Dragon Ball, I'm not used to it as much, but I try to pay attention when they do stuff like that here, because this is my other favorite show and I want to give it props, okay? So they kind of wrap up their dinner, and they realize, oh, Shenron's out. Maybe that's why Bulma kind of ran off suddenly. For some reason, I guess they decide to look for Goku, and they just kind of teleport, and they find Goku in the center of the earth where he's found the crystal. So this is where Bulma's plan starts to kind of unravel, because he's wondering, well, Goku, why are you at the center of the earth? So I guess Goku must have told him about the time travel, or he just kind of figured it out, because we go back to the present. Master Roshi's kind of laid out, you know, under all these women in the car. Shenron is freaking out because he just feels like his body has to disappear, so he's trying to hold on. So then Goku, Lord Beerus, and Whis show back up, and you know, Bulma's like, hey, did you bring back the crystal? Goku says there's a problem, and this is where we find out that, you know, Beerus is like pretty much on to her, and he's like, I know you're not trying to build a new time machine. And he destroys it. So, you know, I think it's safe to assume that they're going to put this time travel crap sort of, you know, out of commission for now. I'm hoping that that is what this scene is really about, because as I mentioned, episode 67, I just kind of wish they would just stop with the time travel, because it just creates more problems than it solves. I mean, and that's not only from a story perspective, you know, as a fan who watches the show, it creates more problems in their actual world too than it seems to solve. So it just makes sense to get rid of it, right? Because I mean, from a writing perspective, why would you want to have to keep dealing with that? I mean, I've already talked about how confusing a lot of that shit was. So hopefully with this moment, they're saying, hey, they're not going to do it anymore, because Beerus finds the crystal, makes it clear that he does not want her building another time machine, and he just crushes the crystal. Not only that, he blows her time machine up. Okay, I feel like this could be a good opportunity, and hopefully that they were saying, okay, we're just not going to do this anymore, because in the future, you kind of get yourself into a corner, right, in a situation, because as long as we now know that present day Bulma has the ability to make a time machine, based on what happened in the last saga. So from this point on, every time a villain would show up, we'd be asking ourselves, well, Bulma, why don't you just make a time machine and go back in time so they can fix it, right? They would have created more plot holes and questions and inconsistencies by allowing that time machine to exist. Because from this point on, you'd have to ask yourself every time, well, why doesn't you just use the time machine to go back and change it? So hopefully they're smart enough to be like, okay, now we're just going to erase that whole possibility in this episode by doing this. And if that's what they're doing here, then you know, I think they did it in a pretty good way, right? But I don't know what's going to happen. Those of you who watch the Japanese version could be saying, oh, he's so wrong, because Bulma's going to use that time machine in 20 episodes from now. I don't know. But hopefully, you know, that'd be a pretty good way of keeping it at bay. So now everybody else's wish has kind of been taken care of or disregarded. And now Goku is saying, okay, so now I can finally make my wish. Meanwhile, King Kai, Gregory, and Bubbles are hanging on by a thread here. Shinran's hanging on by a thread. Finally, time to make the wish. No, it's not. Shinran couldn't hang on any longer, so he just pieces out. Dragon Ball scatter once again, to presumably become inactive again, right? Now, maybe not for a year, because they still have one wish left. But, you know, in this moment, it's not like he can just go collect them again and use them. I think they have to become active again. Once again, I forget what the rules are regarding the Dragon Balls, because they change so much. But the episode ends, and it's kind of like where King Kai is saying, damn it, man, so close. So I really enjoyed this episode. I mean, I thought that this was pretty successful as a filler type episode. I mean, you know, it was, we can't expect a lot from these episodes. They're just kind of meant to be there and give us some little side adventures to give us a little bit of a break before we jump into the next arc. And I thought it was successful like that. I mean, I laughed several times. The animation was pretty good. We got a couple heartfelt moments in there. The only thing is that I wish that we would get less focus on Goku, and I know how weird that sounds, but it's like, you know, at least in these filler episodes, let's follow someone else. I mean, I thought it would have been really cool to see Krillin this episode. Like, there's no, you know, what if Krillin would have been the one to do all this stuff? I know Goku was the one with the debt, quote unquote, to King Kai, but maybe he could have asked Krillin to do it. I mean, they could have found some kind of way to get the other characters involved. You know, I just want to see more of them. We got Gohan in there for a minute and then he left. Okay, so I guess we'll see what happens for next time, but I feel like this was a successful filler episode. I laughed. I thought it was pretty good. What did you guys think? What are you saying? Send me an email at rockthedragonpodcast@gmail.com and let me know. Once again, thank you guys for bearing with me throughout all of this. Sometimes these filler episodes are a little more difficult to talk about, because it's like you have to take something that's essentially not really contributing to anything and not, you know, progressing the story forward in any sort of a way, any serious way, and kind of try to, you know, talk about it. But hopefully I did it justice. And like I said, maybe it is progressing the story, because if they use this episode as an opportunity to eliminate time travel from any future possible scenarios, then I think that that's a pretty big statement and made in a filler episode, one that can get them out of a lot of tough situations thematically and from a writing perspective in the future. So, you know, hopefully that is what happened here. So, yeah. All in all, good episode. Let me know what you're thinking, guys. Please, please, please take a moment to head over to the Facebook page and like the page. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. I still have more stuff coming. I haven't forgotten about those commentaries. I'm trying to work on those this week. But the fastest way to find out about that stuff would definitely be to like the Facebook page. So until next time, for Rock the Dragon Podcast, I'm Tim Bridgewater, and I will see you guys next time.